Encouraging every step, you're listening to Walk FM. My name is Kyle, and today I'm doing our Community Matters interview with Rory Chapman. He is the Executive Director at Faith Health Appalachia. And Rory, for those who haven't heard of Faith Health Appalachia, would you give us a little bit of background about who you are and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So I was born and raised here in Huntington, West Virginia. Been here my whole life. Love this town, love this city, love these people. And I knew I was called into ministry when I was in church here, and felt the burden to go get trained and went to seminary. And then I found out about this position and the work that Faith Health Appalachia is doing, which is basically, so it's its own independent nonprofit. And what we exist to do in support of the Mountain Health Network is we exist to be the bridge between the Mountain Health Network and the two hospitals, Cabell Huntington Hospital and St. Mary's, and the faith communities around us. So we essentially bridge that gap between churches and the hospital. The way I've heard it presented to me before is that churches were the main reason for hospitals and orphanages and all kinds of social services back in history. This is just a fact, church history, to show that churches were on the front lines of ministry to the poor and the hurting and the oppressed and victims and everyone who needed the hands and feet of Jesus in their lives. And since then, it's kind of changed a little bit. And so what we exist to do is really to reignite that, to be that bridge and to fill those gaps between the church and the hospital. So, like I said, I was seminary trained, always had a heart for ministry. I'm very involved in my local church. We attend Redemption Church downtown. And I found out about the position just on Cabell's job board, to be honest with you. And I'd seen some of the work that Faith Health Appalachia was doing in the community, primarily by engaging local churches and pastors to sort of be that kind of networking opportunity for patients who just don't have the resources they need to live healthy lives, whether it's because of isolation or transportation issues. And those are the kind of things that we see a lot of in Appalachia, is lack of access to transportation, lack of access to food and healthy food choices, as well as just social isolation. And I think 2020 proved to exacerbate that problem and make it a lot bigger of a problem than we ever really understood it was. It might seem weird, but people can tend to be lonely. And it's hard to pinpoint that when someone's in the hospital, because you have social workers and you have case management here at the hospital who are trained and educated and do an incredible job of connecting patients to resources in the community that they know about. But there are still always gaps that end up being, that need to be filled. And that's where we want to step in. We want to help connect patients in the hospital to local churches, to organizations like food pantries and faith-based organizations that can help them see that they're not alone, that there are people who can help, and that they can live healthier lives because of that.
Okay, so generally speaking, when you talk about connecting people to churches and churches to the hospital, how do you go about setting up those kind of relationships?
So what we do is we get referrals from folks like social workers and case managers in the hospital, and we also have a team of connectors that are sort of boots on the ground, people in their communities who are doing this work already. And what we do is whenever we receive a person who has any kind of need like that, whether it's, for example, we had a guy who just needed furniture moved in his house so that he could get a hospital bed put in, or someone needs rides to a medical appointment, or someone just, you know, has expressed that they don't feel like they have anybody. Nobody to talk to, nobody to care for them or anything like that. We'll get a referral like that, and we call them our neighbors. And I will facilitate the connection between the neighbor and one of our community connectors. And like I said, the whole point of the community connector is to be that sort of force in the community that these people may not actually know about. They might not know the resources that are available in those communities, and that's what our community connectors do to sort of fill those gaps. So they're the boots on the ground. They're the ones that are really making this thing happen. I'm really just facilitating all the connections between the hospital and the churches around. For example, we've gotten in touch with home health here at Cabell Huntington Hospital, and they've identified some patients who they see in their environment, in their homes, and they sometimes feel like they might need some additional care that they just can't do. For example, grocery pickups. We had several referrals of folks who just needed wheelchair ramps built. There was a lady whose son has cerebral palsy, and had just a difficult time getting up a couple of steps into their home. And so we, with the help of World Changers coming into Huntington, facilitated that connection to get that lady a wheelchair ramp. And I think it's actually just been finished being constructed. The verbiage for all this is social determinants of health. So the things around you, your environment that tangibly affect your health. We all know that we can make healthy choices to live healthier lives, but where we are and who we're with inevitably determine how healthy of a life we tend to have. The kind of churches we're involved in, the kind of access we have, how far a grocery store is from your own home, that inevitably affects what you do and how you live. So transportation, food insecurity, social isolation, those three things are really at the top of our list when it comes to identifying people that we can help and help live a healthier life. Another one of the things that we've started to get partnered up with is the West Virginia Office of Drug Control Policy is hosting and organizing an event on September 1st called the Save a Life Campaign. And what this basically is it's a free training, education, and distribution of naloxone, or some people heard it referred to as Narcan spray. Overdoses in Cabell County alone are up 33% as of this time last year. And we all know that last year was a big cause of all that. People were isolated. People had a lot of depression, a lot of lost hope, and a lot of lost opportunities. And so there was a lot of relapses, a lot of going back to old habits that people thought they had broken. And because of that, we've seen an uptick in overdose and overdose-related deaths because of that. And so the goal here is to raise at least $20,000 in funding for Narcan sprays. And a lot of people think that Narcan is just free, that naloxone sprays are just free. And that's partially true. A lot of the time, it's distributed at no cost to people who are trained and able to use it for free. But the funding for that comes from various different, it comes from donors, it comes from the state, it comes from churches, it comes from GoFundMe campaigns. Every one of those doses costs money. And the efforts of some folks here in Cabell County to get those doses into the hands of people who can be a potential, what they call a hero, to save these folks' lives from a potential death due to overdose, that funding is needed. And so it's well attested that probably most of your listeners, myself included, and everyone in Cabell County and beyond has been affected by addiction in some way, whether they're former addicts in recovery themselves or they have a family member or a friend. Everyone here probably knows someone who is affected by it. And so what we hope to do with this Save a Life campaign is to not only just raise awareness and to, you know, create funding, but to educate folks about what this medicine can do. It can literally save someone's life. There's very, very few drugs that exist that are quite literally lifesavers, and this is one of them. So some of the things that are going on, 7 sites have been identified, churches, Ritter Park, I think, is on there, and as well as others that are going to be distribution sites for naloxone, for Narcan spray. And those sites will also have peer recovery coaches, educators, and trainers, and facilitators to show how to use a Narcan spray. And so what we're hoping to do is we've already identified the sites. We've got folks coordinated, and we're getting volunteers, but we need funding to secure more doses. The state has partially helped to secure some doses, but we're looking to be able to get more funding in order to be able to secure more doses and potentially save more lives.
Absolutely. You kind of touched on this. Would you tell our listeners, why is it so important for this to be available to people?
It's important for this to be available because whether someone is addicted or not, they're a human being and they're worthy of life. This is not just something that affects what we consider, you know, the typical drug addict. There are people who, they might be parents, children, teenagers, college students that end up overdosing because they were exposed to drugs that they did not expect to be exposed to, that they had no intention of being exposed to. And so through accidents of no intent of their own, they end up overdosing. And it's a tragedy that we can play a part in to help stop. And some people might be thinking along the lines of, well, they made those choices and they made those decisions and to do those things, and they should have known the consequences. And that might be the case, but that's a lot easier to say when it's not your own son and it's not your own daughter or your own mom or your own father or even yourself. And so what we're hoping to do is educate folks first and foremost as to what this drug does, what Narcan does, what its purpose is, what it's intended to do, and how it's most effectively used to potentially save someone's life and get them into recovery. And that's the whole purpose of all this. If we can just save one person, get them into recovery, and help them to live a better life, it's all worth it. But even if we don't, even if, let's say, you know, we don't, the point is not to see success. The point is to show people that they matter, that they are made in God's image, and that God loves them, and that no matter what decisions they make, they cannot make God love them any more or less. And so we want to be a partner in helping make that happen.
Great. So you mentioned already that you need more donations to make all this work. I'm sure you could use some more volunteers. If there are people listening who want to help or who want to find out more about what you guys are doing, how do they get involved? What can they do?
So there's a GoFundMe set up to raise funds and everything like that. That is on our Facebook page. You can go to Faith Health Appalachia on Facebook. Just search it in there. And on the top of our page there, on our Facebook page, you'll see the GoFundMe link for the Save a Life campaign in Cabell County. That's where you can donate, you can get more info, and also that website, savealifewv.org, is where you can get all the information about who's leading this, what sites they're going to be at. They need volunteers, so if you're looking to volunteer, you know someone who might be able to lend a few hands that day, that'd be great. Setting up tables, tearing down, all that.
Okay, and if people want to get involved, but maybe they're just not available on September 1st for this particular event, how can they help?
If you want to get involved in what we're doing as Faith Health Appalachia, if you're looking to volunteer in any way, we never turn down hands. If you are interested in doing anything and everything to serve the kingdom, whether it's taking people to medical appointments or being an educator on smoking cessation, or you just want to be a listening ear to someone who needs to talk, we are more than happy to get you involved and plugged in. If your pastor, by chance, wants to get involved with what we're doing, that would be awesome. We have a ton of pastors who serve on an advisory group with Faith Health Appalachia to really connect the hospital to the local churches in our area. Again, you can go to our Facebook page. It's Faith Health Appalachia, or you can email me at faithhealthappalachia@gmail.com.
All right, there you have it. Well, I want to say thank you so much to Rory Chapman from Faith Health Appalachia for being our special guest today. If you want to learn more about the Save a Life campaign, remember you can go to savealifewv.org, or you can check out the Faith Health Appalachia Facebook page to find out more about that, or to give if you'd like to do that. Remember, if you missed any portion of this interview, you can find it at walkfm.org. Text the word community to 855-592-5536, and we'll send you the link. If you are part of a church or an organization that's doing something to benefit our community, I'd love to talk to you as well. Drop me a note at communitymatters@walkfm.org, and who knows, maybe next time I'll be talking to you on the Community Matters interview. For now, my name is Kyle. You're listening to Walk FM, and I hope you have a wonderful day.